Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk program for this Thursday, May the 27th. And Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road across from Winthrop University. We're brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Of course, also brought to you by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy around the corner here at Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, our streaming provided by HighSpeedWeb.net. Very happy this afternoon to welcome a couple of lovely ladies to our broadcast that are going to educate you and me on the Wild Wings Encounter program, among other numerous issues. Michelle Miller-Halk is with us this afternoon, Chief Wonder Maker, and Colleen Roddick, who is the training manager at the Raptor Center. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have you here. It's great to have you here. We've been having a lively conversation before we hit the air, so hopefully this won't be a letdown here for the next 30 minutes.
Absolutely not.
But what we like to do, of course, as you know, the area is growing dramatically. Every day, new people are coming in, and perhaps we can find out a little bit about Michelle Miller-Halk, and you can tell me finally what a Chief Wonder Maker is, since that's what you are.
So birds have inspired humans for thousands of years, whether that's flight or innovation or art or culture. There are cultural stories in almost every tradition about birds. And so what we wanted to do at the Raptor Center was to inspire people. So that's my job, is to create wonder every single day.
Okay, I like that. How did you get into that?
Well, I spent a lot of years in advertising, and so my job there was to connect people with the stuff that they needed. And so when I came to the Raptor Center, I knew that that this would be something that could take me for the rest of my career.
Are you originally from this area? Or?
I am not. I have family that has always been here. My grandmother was here when I was growing up, but I went to Davidson College back in the 80s, and then left for a little while and have been back for almost 30 years.
It's a good place to be, isn't it?
It is.
And, of course, Colleen Roddick with us, training manager at the Raptor Center.
Yes, I am the training manager. So what that means is I oversee our trained birds that we have. They are ambassadors. So they represent the wild species counterparts that are out there in the world. And they're birds that we bring out for all kinds of programming. So we have these really great wild wing experiences that we do. We have programming that we travel to on and off site programs, summer camps, and then usually we do a bird show. And so we have all these great educational programs that we have. And so I oversee those birds that do those programs.
Now, are you originally from this area, or are you like the rest of us, a transplant?
Yeah, I am one of the unique Charlotte natives.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so Charlotte, North Carolina. Technically was born in Statesville, but I've been in North Carolina my entire life.
Okay, I like Statesville. It's a good town.
Yeah.
It's kind of like California, Charlotte's turning into now. You know, you go out there in California, you can't find anybody from there.
Right.
Everybody's always from somewhere else, you know. Yeah. I'm finding that with Charlotte here lately.
Yeah, that's everybody you meet pretty much is from somewhere else. Up north, usually, I feel like, or Florida for some reason.
Okay,
that
makes sense.
That's kind of a function of banking town, of being a banking town.
A lot of people come in to
and work for the banks. And
then they end up
staying or going away somewhere else.
All right. How difficult is it to train birds?
So there are a lot of factors that go into training. There's not really a cookie cutter way to train an animal. As trainers, we're constantly looking at the body language of birds to give us indicators on how they're feeling, maybe what's going on inside their head. And then we have special tools that we use to train. So in the case for our birds of prey or our raptors, we're using cut up pieces of their food. So it's very similar to dog training where you ask your dog to sit. If they sit, you give them a little treat, maybe a piece of chicken or a piece of hot dog, to tell them that they did a good job. And it's that same concept with our birds. Their body language is just a little different, and we might be training them to do slightly different things.
Such as
free flying, or some of our birds have really unique adaptations that we like to show off. So we have a new species that we'll talk about, I guess, in a little bit, but they can catch food that can be tossed to them and have a really unique way of eating them. There are some birds you can train to snatch food right out of the air. Some birds slam their food against tree trunks or on the ground. And so you can capture those behaviors and show them off in a educational setting, which is really cool.
I have always been intrigued when you go to a sporting event and, you know, like you're in the middle of a big football stadium, college or professional or otherwise, and the mascot is a bird of some sort, and they usually have that particular bird there. And they'll let them loose and they'll fly, you know, all around it, but and then come back. Obviously, they're trained, but you're talking about several thousand people, and that has to be some sort of distraction, but apparently not for the bird.
Yeah, I mean, with training, it's the study of one, so each individual is so different. Just like you and I and Michelle here have so many different histories that make us who we are and attribute to our learning. Same thing with birds. And so there are birds who can fly over thousands and thousands of people. And usually trainers will slowly introduce people until you get more and more and they get more comfortable. And then before you know it, you have a stadium full of all those people and the birds flying over it. So it's really cool. And something else these trainers have to have is a lot of trust built in with these birds. So making sure that they understand who we are, have a relationship with us, and that it's a good one. So that way when they do free fly or do some of these really cool behaviors, that they want to come back to us.
Yeah, so obviously the bird has to have a certain amount of trust in the trainer as well. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a huge part of what we do is all trust.
Is there, like, classes that you took to learn this stuff? Or, I mean, you know, how does this come about? Or is this something that As a small child, you knew that you wanted to do, or, you know?
So when I grew up a lot with my grandmother and aunt and uncle who live in Florida, and we always went birding, traveled around, and so I really, at a young age, learned to love the environment and care for it, and learned to identify birds, and I was just around that so much that they really inspired me. So when I grew up, I knew I wanted to go to school for biology. And so I've taken some classes on animal behavior, ornithology and things like that. But there's not like a real world application in those courses to tell you, this is how you train a bird. This is how you talk to people about environmental issues. As usually we're in the field, we can take different seminars and workshops with other facilities and larger organizations. One in particular is the International Association of Avian Trainers and Educators. So a bunch of bird nerds from all over the world who get together who can learn from each other. And that's really a super magical place to be and learn all of these skills.
How hard is it for these birds to adapt from the wild to controlled environment, as it were?
Really not that hard. These guys are built to adapt and built to behave. And so as long as trainers, we're doing the right thing and listening to them, giving them choice and control in their everyday lives, it usually goes pretty smoothly. So it's not as hard as you think. And then we, of course, sometimes there are candidates who aren't really it's not really their role. It doesn't really work out to be a bird on a glove or free flying. And so if that role in particular doesn't work out for them, we can find a new role just for that individual to make them more comfortable in their situation.
So it's not like they're being put in a cage somewhere or something?
Yeah, so some of the birds will come out and free fly or show off dynamic behaviors. Some birds are more stationary and will sit on a perch while we educate children and all kinds of people about them. And then we do have exhibits on display where people can walk around and see those birds, but a lot of those birds are trained as well. They just maybe are more comfortable in their own home as opposed to coming out in front of people.
That's incredible. That's absolutely amazing what you guys are doing.
What has been even more exciting is that over the past year during the pandemic, we have been able to start teaching a lot of these classes. And they're teaching these seminars online. And so our folks are the teachers and not just the learners right now.
You mentioned the pandemic, and it's an obvious question that almost everyone gets asked, you know, in the business world, how it's impacted you over the past year and change of months. How has it impacted you over the past year?
It had a huge impact on us, especially in the first months where we were closed. We are about 99% outside. The only thing that you have to do inside is use the restroom or buy a gift in the gift shop. But otherwise, we are a 100% outdoor facility. And so we had a little bit more leeway than a lot of other of our compatriots and other organizations that do things like arts and culture and science. And so we were able to open in July, but we were closed from about March 18th to July 1. And so we lost a lot of money, because part of what we do is earned income, and people walking through the facility, and programs have just started now to bounce back. We have program income if you want a bird to come out to your school or your organization. That is something that that is part of our income stream, and we're just starting to get that back.
With schools having reopened things beginning to return to some semblance of normal.
Summer camp and schools and just different organizations that have wanted us to participate at libraries. We do all sorts of programming.
I should ask you where you all are located for those who don't know.
So we are in Huntersville, North Carolina, almost over the line into Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So we're at the very southern tip of Huntersville in Latta Nature Preserve, which is a county nature preserve, Mecklenburg County Nature Preserve.
I've seen the signs along the interstate there for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Not knowing what it was. Now I know.
So Latta Nature Preserve was established some years ago because it is part of the watershed for Charlotte. So so the clean water comes through the nature preserve and gets even cleaner, and then feeds the Charlotte water system.
I'd asked you earlier before we went on the air, and a number of folks had commented on this in social media about the hummingbirds, because there seemed to be so many here. They were late this year, if you got word from the hummingbird world as to what was up.
So I've seen a couple of people that have said we still haven't seen hummingbirds yet. We still haven't, or some of them say they are coming to different places, and we don't know exactly why. We can't ask them, obviously, but we
that's
think
your job, right? Talk to the birds. You're the bird whisperer.
Yeah, not verbally. Body language.
Let me mark that off my list.
It would make my job a lot easier if we could just talk to each other.
If they just say, well, Colleen, it's like this. Okay? Yeah, we were having such a good time down there in Bermuda that we didn't want to come back.
But we just think it could be, the weather is changing. The weather is changing all the time, especially in North Carolina and North and South Carolina. And that we had that little cold snap. So it could be something as simple as that. It could be that where they were wintering seemed to be still not so cold.
Right. And the other side of that coin is the extraordinary heat that we're having right now. That I had a news story this morning that usually this is your July and August heat in the 90s. Here we are Memorial Day weekend on the approach of it, and we're going to be cooking.
Yeah, and we always pay very careful attention to the weather, because when a bird gets too hot, it is no good.
Well, I have a bird bath there in the front of the house, a little fountain to it thing, a little solar power thing, and they seem to like that real well. But I do go out often in the afternoons and kind of refill it just to, I mean, the birds, they need fresh water too, They can't turn on the faucet, but there I am,
Absolutely.
I'm a nice guy. Why wouldn't I do that,
And our birds get most of the water that they need for their bodily functions from the food that they eat. But they all have these bird baths in each enclosure so they can do that. And if it gets so hot that we just are really concerned, we take the hose out and give them a little squirt.
Really?
Yeah.
I would imagine they'd enjoy that. I know I would,
Yeah, so little misters. So kind of the same thing you would do at the pool if you were sitting with one of those little fans.
Oh, yes.
Kind of like that. So.
Well, that's great. So they're obviously being treated very well there.
Oh, absolutely. The quality of life of our birds is very, very high. You know, they get a gourmet menu that's
I just envision this bird waiting list in the bird world, you know. Just see them right now. Like, no, not that. Okay, well,
that's
stay
right.
in line here.
And then we have on-site health care, because that's, you know, that's one of the big things that we do on the what we call sort of the back side of the house, which is the Raptor Rehabilitation Center that is associated with Carolina Raptor Center. So we see about 800 to 1,000 birds a year in that hospital. And about 65% of those birds get released back into the wild.
Oh, that's fantastic. They get treated and then are sent on their way.
That's right. Yeah, so that's the whole wild bird.
Much like they would me if I went over to the ER here, you know, give them a Band-Aid and send him on. That's incredible.
Well, and it's always a very emotional, fun experience to release a bird, because it's like all of that energy has been poured in and you get to go out.
We had a bird, I don't know if it was a hawk, I can't remember if it was a hawk or whatever it was, flew into a window at the radio station a few years ago, you know, and obviously, you know, knocked himself out and that sort of thing. And I don't remember who the folks were that came down. It may have been you guys.
I think it was us. I think that might have been Clyde.
And yeah. Picked him up and took him off. And you were kind enough to send us email updates on how he was doing. And then once he was treated and all better again, he brought him back down to the parking lot of the station in the back and, you know, set him loose again. And I was very intrigued by that, as to why they would bring this bird all the way back down here from Huntersville and set him loose again in the back parking lot. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so they all have their own territories and areas in which they hunt, when they nest, where they live. And so it's really important to respect those territories. And so introducing birds back to where they came from. Because for the most part, a lot of birds don't travel very far. So they might have maybe a 10-mile radius, 15-mile radius that they spend their entire lives in, unless they're migrating, of course. But it's important that we're not interrupting another territory by introducing a bird somewhere else. And so even when it gets into migration season, we think about, you know, what is the path that they would be on if they're migrating? Do we need to go further south to release these birds? And so there's a lot that goes into that for the planning of the releases. But we also love giving our finders, is what we call the people who call us with the birds, to have an opportunity to release the birds that they found.
We kind of became fans of this bird. You know, I mean, we were all like, sure. You know, he knocked himself out because he flew into this big window and, you know, only knocked himself out. But, you know, we made some calls and you folks showed up and picked him up, took him off, and then, you know, were in contact with him saying, well, you know, here's how he's doing today and that sort of thing on like a bi-weekly basis. And then they were sending pictures of him, you know, alert and moving around. We thought, well, you know, this is great. You know, this is.
You bring up a very, very important point. We have transport volunteers that live all over this entire region. And so if you call us about a bird that is injured that you see in your parking lot or in your yard, then we have folks that live in all sorts of places that can just go over and they've been trained to capture the bird, and we always need more folks in transport. So if you're really interested in, if you live in this region, we would love for folks to volunteer, and you can just go to our website. And
the website is?
www.carolinaraptor, that's RAPTOR, center.org.
All right, carolinaraptorcenter.org.
That's correct. It's a mouthful, but
It's worth it.
Yeah, you can find it.
Because our little bird encounter had a very happy ending to it, and in conclusion, can't say that I've seen him since, but that doesn't mean he's not out there somewhere watching us.
Absolutely. It's probably a good sign that you haven't seen him super close. So he's probably out hunting or building a nest this time of year.
Yeah. And doing what he does.
Doing what they do.
Who am I to interfere with that? We're going to take our mid-program break right now. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, our broadcast brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. As always, we broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your eyes. They do this a very magical way, ladies, and I know that, Colleen, you've been dying to get into this. And the man behind you, the myth, the legend, Charlie Ruffalo, will help us on the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-646.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come, but we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Great talk for this Thursday afternoon. Stephen Stone in for Manning Kimmel, who's having some much-deserved time away today. Michelle Miller-Halk is with us, the Chief Wonder Maker, and Colleen Roddick, Training Manager at the Raptor Center. Up north there in that little bedroom community of Rock Hill that we call Charlotte. On the other side, though, Huntersville there.
That's right.
And you guys are doing some construction coming up there.
We are. We have been planning this new facility for over 10 years. And so we are so excited that at least one piece of it will be open pretty soon, probably sometime in July. But it is called Quest, and it is essentially a joint venture with Mecklenburg County, who's the owner of that building. Mm-hmm. And it is, again, focused on water, because Ladin Nature Preserve is the watershed for Charlotte. But it's a 13,000 square foot building, and it's gorgeous. It's got new classrooms, it's got new exhibits, it's got a wonderful gift shop. And then once we get that part of the building open, we will be building our portion of the Raptor Trail out back. And so we'll move all of our public-facing enclosures, our programs, our everything over to that new facility. And it'll have a 200-seat amphitheater, the Duke Energy Amphitheater.
Okay.
And it'll have a resident bird care facility that is sort of the health and wellness center for the birds that live there. And you'll be able to see kind of you'll have a window into what goes on behind the scenes from the new Raptor Trail. And then there'll be 40 enclosures with 40 different species of the big birds, everything from hawks and owls to Sariyama and hornbills. So we're kind of excited about all of those things.
Now, of course, we are on the edge of the Memorial Day weekend, which is the traditional kickoff to summer. And you're going to be a very busy gal, from what I understand, Colleen.
Yes. So starting this weekend, actually, we have so many exciting things going on our trail. So we are doing winged encounters throughout the day, both Saturday and Sunday, where our goal is basically to get people as close to our birds as possible, to have a real nose-to-beak experience, if you will. So we have kookaburras who fly over people. We have owls who people can catch on a perch, which is really neat when they're free flying. We have vultures who go on walks, and even a vulture who has their own playground that comes out and visits
That's
people.
Cool.
So a lot of really cool experiences, and our goal is just to get people really connected with these birds. So, you know, the more you see something and learn about it and really connect, the more you care about these animals and the more you want to do something really great for them in their natural environment.
How many perspectives do you find the average visitor has changed once they come and spend some time with you all and kind of get that up-close and personal experience with nature?
I really think, you know, I don't know if there's like a specific numeric answer for that, but I like to think most people that we encounter, especially if we do anything with vultures, I think we change minds with people about vultures all the time.
What is the attraction with vultures? I mean, it's kind of like the bird you love to hate, but, you know, we can't get enough of them.
Well, let me tell you, they are some of the most amazing birds out there. So they have such a terrible reputation, I think, of being doom and gloom. You know, you worry about them hovering over you because that might be a signal you're going to die and things like that. They have this dark story behind them. But they are some of the most intelligent birds we have. They have the learning capacity of a 4-year-old human. So they are super smart, really fun to train.
I know some adults that don't have that kind of never mind.
Yeah, okay. They are so cool. And so vultures are amazing for our ecosystem. So they're eating, you know, usually you see them eating dead things on the road, right? But their stomach acids are so acidic that they can eat rabies, botulism, anthrax, all these terrible things that we don't want in our ecosystems and our bodies. They digest it for us. So
they're kind of covering us because it's not like we've done a very good job or as good a job as we could do in protecting our environment. And here comes the vulture to the rescue, basically, is what you're describing to me.
Yeah, there are garbage disposals out there that take care of it. So there are a good sign of a healthy ecosystem. There are a lot of countries who right now don't have a great vulture population. And so all of those decaying things on the side of the road are being left for wild dogs and rats to ingest and really spread those germs that we don't want spreading.
Yeah, because they're not digesting and enzymes and all that stuff like you're describing with the vultures.
Yeah, and so, you know, that is, you know, a great reason to love them. And they're so clean. So they even have these feathers on their head. They wear a hood, kind of like we'll have a hood on our jacket when it's raining. They can pull those feathers back when they're eating to keep themselves nice and clean. They'll use the sunlight to get rid of germs on their body and mites and things like that. Overall, they're just a lot more hygienic than you would think that they are.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, again, because vultures have gotten a very bad rap through time immemorial there. And as you describe, you know, things gloom and all that stuff. And everything you're telling me is the exact opposite.
Yeah. And I think the biggest change for people is when they see their personalities, because they are so goofy. Our vultures will follow along with us and walk along with us. And so we'll take people on vulture walks. And I think when you see a vulture hopping on the ground, kind of following you around, I think that really changes your perspective on this creature who maybe you don't ever get to have an experience like that, you know, in your backyard.
I will never look at vultures the same way now.
You'll have to come out and go on a walk with a vulture.
Indeed. In our final 2 minutes, girls, what do we want to hit here so the folks come up and see you all there?
So, yeah, we would love for you to come see us, but if you can't come see us, we have a new YouTube channel that has all sorts of these questions that you've been asking Colleen about vultures and about owls and about all sorts of different other birds that we have at the Raptor Center. We have a new YouTube series, and it's called Avian Adventures, and it answers questions like, why do owls fly silently? And how do vultures keep themselves clean? And, you know, why do birds call? So there are all sorts of really interesting questions that we're answering on YouTube, and you can find that on Carolina Raptor Center. Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
do they talk to each other, the birds?
Of course they do.
Look, how do they do it? It's incredible. You have to find out more by visiting the YouTube channel, ladies. Our time has flown by. I told you it would, but thank you so much.
We really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having us.
We appreciate you. Michelle Miller Hupp, the Chief Wonder Maker, and she is, as well as Colleen Roddick, Training Manager at the Raptor Center. And again, the website real quick.
www.carolinaraptorcenter.org.
There you go. Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders and Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Broadcasting at Substation 2. How do they do it, girls?
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Mayor John Getty is with us tomorrow on Straight Talk. We'll see you then. Have a great day, won't you?